And we're live.
Hooray.
Yay.
Good work.
We did it.
Yes. Yay.
How you guys doing?
Good.
Doing all right. How about you?
Not bad. I got a quick recommendation for anyone listening. The recent Hot Ones with Conan O'Brien is absolutely unhinged.
That sounds about right.
I saw some clips. It looked incredible.
Yeah, it's he's obviously a very good comedian. He just commits to the bit so hard. I don't even want to tell you some of the nonsense he does, but just trust me, go watch it. It's a really good episode of Hot Ones.
Cool.
What have you guys been up to this last week? Anything cool?
I went and visited my family just then, so that's why I'm a little late coming back.
Right. Yeah, you were telling us lots of Sonic.
Favorite. My nephews are super into Sonic the Hedgehog now. They're like they're obsessed. One of them, their cell phone background is Shadow, and whenever they
turn on
their phone, it's super Shadow.
I was going to ask, when you asked them, what did they think of Keanu Reeves now voicing Shadow the Hedgehog? We'll just get into some of the news right here.
Honestly, they didn't care. My sister thought that was hilarious.
Okay. Yeah. I can't imagine they've seen a lot of Keanu Reeves films.
Probably not. They've probably seen Toy Story 4. That's about it.
Oh, yes. That movie that Keanu Reeves is well known from. What's that character's name again?
Some Canadian daredevil.
Kaboom something? I think Kaboom might be in it, but I don't
Captain
remember.
Yeah. Kaboom? I don't
Something
know.
Like that. Yeah, he's like a Evel Knievel knockoff. Right.
Duke Kaboom, I see in chat.
Duke Kaboom. Okay. All right.
The great name.
He's like the Canadian daredevil. Yeah. So my nephews have two game stations set up. They have one for one of them and one for the other. One's got the Xbox Series X. The other's got the PS5. So I get called upstairs to go hang out with them and play games. One nephew wants to play Sonic Superstars, so we play that co-op. They only had two controllers, so all three of us couldn't play. Mm-hmm. And then after I did that, the other one was playing Sonic Adventure 2 Battle on their Xbox. And then we went down for dinner, came back up, and then the other one wanted to play Sonic Generations, where I played the classic Sonic stages and he got to play the modern Sonic stages. And then while that was going on, the other nephew was playing Sonic Forces on their Switch. So it's a very, very Sonic the Hedgehog household there. One of them is learning how to make their own Sonic plushies. So they don't have to keep buying their own. They're just going to make their own.
Nice.
Okay. Well, that's a skill to have, sure.
Yeah, it was an interesting time.
I'm surprised at this point you're not bringing your own controller.
I came back from a doctor's appointment and went there, so I was it was kind of a last minute pop up, but sometimes I usually just do bring a controller. I just haven't been there since they got the PS5 and the Series X, so.
Okay.
Normally I was bringing a Switch controller so we could play Fortnite together.
Sure.
Or, a Switch.
I would just think you would have one of every controller on you at all times, just in case a gamer moment pops up.
Yeah, I'm not going to start carrying around a briefcase of controllers. I feel like at that point, my life has taken a direction and a turn I cannot control.
That's true. That's true. What about you, Paul? You have a lot of Sonic on your plate this week?
No, unfortunately, not nearly enough Sonic, I would say.
Okay.
In my life
Crazies.
Right now.
Crazies.
Yeah.
Crazies.
Yeah, maybe between the two of us, we can find a happy medium where we each play a little bit of one game instead of four or five for one person. It's Fallout fever over here. I have every Fallout game installed and I've just been I can't do it. These games are 30 hours long each at best. And I have so many games, I can't do it,
It would arguably be irresponsible of you to start a Fallout campaign right now.
Yeah, I mean, specifically the ones I wanted to do is I've never fully completed 1 and 2. I've only played a bunch of them. So,
those are way shorter, so.
They're still long, but yes, they are shorter. So I was considering maybe doing that in my spare time, and then I realized I kind of don't have spare time while some games that I'm playing right now currently exist still. So I don't know. I put that off. The reason is because I binged the Fallout show. Last week, I had watched two episodes, and then once I started it back up, I just kept going until it was done. I loved that thing. I was also thinking maybe I'll do, like, New Vegas or something. Again, like, one of the bigger ones that, like, everybody loves, and just see how I feel about it. And
just do Fallout Shelter.
So that Erin installed that on the Switch, and she's been playing Fallout Shelter just like in her spare time. But the one I did install because I thought maybe I would get a group together for it was 76, and I didn't. So okay. I just haven't really played it.
Shelter. I played a handful of hours of Shelter when that first came out. That was a cool one.
All those games, honestly, are good for different reasons and bad for different reasons. So, like, I'm down with almost every Fallout game.
Nice.
In some way.
Cool.
Yeah.
What's going on with me? I'm 2.5-ish episodes into Fallout, so I'm slowly making my way through that. Mm-hmm. We were just talking that Invincible is awesome. I finished that up.
Yep. That's good.
I'm going to see this weekend. Oh, I saw Civil War. That movie is dark and tense the whole way through, which I would expect as much. Same director did Ex Machina, and that is another very tense and dark movie the whole way through.
I thought there was another thing you saw that I was curious about, but I can't remember. This might have been a couple weeks ago now. Let's see if I can find it.
I saw Monkey Man. I saw Kong. Or you watched Across the Spider-Verse yesterday.
Oh, yeah, maybe. Maybe not.
Okay. All right, well, let's do the show. This is the Top Down Perspective for April 18th. I'm Sean Booker.
Paul Fleck.
John Wheeler.
Okay, who other than me played some games they want to talk about?
I played a board game that is on Kickstarter right now. That's what the most exciting thing I did.
I think I saw your tweet about this. Okay, yeah.
So one of my local friends here in Calgary actually is publishing a board game, Attack of the Snacks. They have a Kickstarter up for it right now. And they actually came over to the house here yesterday, and we actually streamed it. So if you can, I don't know how well it's showing in my camera right now. You can see like the table here, and you can see like some lighting set up and stuff like that. Like I had everything set up for that the other day.
Snacks spelt without the K.
Yes, Attack of the Snacks. Snacks. It's an interesting, like, and I wouldn't say intro, like intermediate style, like dice game. It was actually pretty neat. I liked it a lot. It wasn't too hard to get to understand. Yeah, I had fun with it. I'm just excited for like a friend being able to like actually publish a board game.
No, that's cool. Can you like it to other board games, or you just don't have enough experience with board games maybe, or it's too unique?
The closest thing I could compare it to would be Yahtzee of all things, because it's all about like you get in, you pick an area to like get a monster you have to fight, and the bottom of the monster has four symbols you have to match.
Is it King of Tokyo? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, King of Tokyo, zombie dice. You like you need to roll like the specific icons to take them out.
Yeah, because King of Tokyo is very Yahtzee-like. And you're fighting monsters.
It's like you've got like health meters, so you don't want to like knock yourself out. You can get special abilities by trading in trophies that you get for killing all the monsters and stuff like that. There's different ways of scoring and stuff like that. It was like honestly, like I had fun doing it.
I think they put it on Tabletop Sim. That's great.
Yeah, it's already on Tabletop Sim too. Yeah, it's about 45 minutes for two players to play. I think it took about 6 or 7 turns for us to do a run.
Cool.
Looks like they are just under half funded.
Nice. Well, they're doing pretty good, all things considered, because it only launched Tuesday. So,
yeah, nice. they got a month to go.
So hopefully they get to publish that, because again, I think that's really cool having a friend who's actually got a published board game.
Yeah, it's cool.
That is cool. I can't imagine how difficult that would be. So,
I believe they had all been working on it for 2 years, I think, is what I heard.
Nice. Cool. Good for them.
So Attack of the
Snacks.
That is
so did they like send you a copy of it? Is that how you were playing it?
No, he literally like came to my house.
Okay. Yeah. Did they? Yeah, I'm looking at the Kickstarter and they have all these like bonus editions? Did they have like a whole bunch of stuff, or was it just like standard edition you guys were playing?
So it was the prototype, actually. So it was the one that wasn't, you know, technically for this.
Okay.
So I got an early version, essentially. So
yeah.
Yeah, other than that, I haven't really been playing much in the way of games. So just across. So
how about you, Paul? You were going to update us on Rebirth again?
Yeah, I need this game just done. I just need it fucking done. There's so much. Oh, there is no. So much in this game. There's so I wrapped up. Where was I last time again? I wrapped up Cosmo Canyon completely, Cosmo Canyon. Like all the side stuff.
For now.
I went back and I had forgotten to finish the last part of the Proto Relic in Gongaga, so that took like 10 minutes, maybe. That was nothing. Other than that, I started a bunch of the stuff in Nibel and did like the open world stuff in the beginning before you kind of do the story. So all that's done. I think I have like,
yeah,
four
you can't
or five
do much of that yet until you really
left.
Need the chocobo.
Well, you get the chocobo instantly, like right when you land, basically. It's
oh,
pretty
yes.
quick.
No, that's
anyway.
Right. Yeah, no, so, I did it. I actually didn't get the chocobo immediately, so I couldn't do much. Oh. And then I was like, I don't have this chocobo. And then I realized I just didn't go over there. And I was like, I'm an idiot. Also, getting that chocobo, I think, was the hardest for me.
Oh, really? I thought that one was the easiest for me because, like, my problem with the ones where you stealth around is just I'm impatient and I just hate how slow you move crouch. And this, I could kind of control a little bit more when the chocobo moves, even though you have to wait a long time for some of those stupid things to go down.
Yeah, well, it's also like the chocobo, like, it takes a bit for them to get going.
Yeah.
Their hitbox is weird, so there's a lot of times where it's just like, oh, come on, I was barely close to that cactus.
No, I totally get it, for sure. I'm glad that they give you a little leeway where, like, it can take a little bit of damage if it gets snagged a little bit, but, like...
Yeah.
So, no, yeah, I don't know. That chocobo's the funnest, though, because I just like shooting around on the jets. This is fun.
It makes literally no sense, but yeah, it's a weird one, like I was saying. Yeah,
it's fun, and after the other areas, it was the quickest one to get from point A to B, wherever you wanted to go for the side stuff. You were just shooting around or whatever, and yeah. That was kind of nice. So that took maybe like an hour and a half. There was kind of... not much, but I still have more I have to do for the open world stuff there. It was kind of a nice change, though, where I didn't have to worry about doing the gliding mini game. Oh, I went back and I finished the gliding mini game as well in Cosmo Canyon just to finish it. So like that's completely
well, hey, once
done.
once you finish up Nibel, you get to go back to every area to do more of the side quests.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. I'm just going to finish the game at this point. I don't care about any of that. So, no, it's been fun. I'm back, like, deep in story land stuff. You go into Nibel and you kind of see what's going on there. And I went to the Shinra Mansion, did that stuff, and I'm...
Oh, wait, you haven't gone back to the Gold Saucer yet?
No, not yet. That will be the next
You have a lot of game to go.
Yeah. No, I know. I have quite a bit. So yep. I probably have about 30 to 40 hours left.
You know what your runtime is at the moment?
60 something, 62, 63.
Okay. I'm at 75. I'm nearing
You're
the end
also
of chapter
doing side
13.
Stuff. Like I am seriously just ending this game. I'm actually like starting to hate it. So I just want it done.
Yeah, I don't like. Yeah, I want to say all the extra side stuff was maybe 2 hours. There's not like a ton.
Oh, that's not bad.
And there's also like, you know, you got to go finish the Proto Relic back in the Corel region because you can't
do
it.
Yeah, that I will do. I'll do that. Yep.
Well, what sucks? That's the worst Proto Relic because that's the one where you get the cactus statue and you got to like point the way and then you got to go there. Then you got to go back because the place you got the cactus statue doesn't count. Like it doesn't give you a fast travel spot until you're inside it. That's annoying.
Oh yeah, sure. I don't know. I really hate Fort Condor a lot. So that was easily the worst Proto Relic for me. I fucking hate that mini game so much.
Oh, I like Fort Condor. So, I mean, it's I did all garbage. The Fort Condor stuff in intermission, interlude, whatever the UFO thing was.
Yeah. The story stuff is still
good.
I'm with you, though.
I need it done. I'm at 75 hours. I'm assuming the last bit I have in 13, and unless 14 is like strangely long or short, I'm going to guess I'm going to end up somewhere around 80 hours with the game.
I'm almost under the assumption the last chapter is just like the final area boss fight, kind of like the same way, like a big bunch of story stuff and a giant boss fight is what I'm assuming.
I took a quick look at like a walkthrough. I didn't look too closely because I didn't want to get spoiled. It seems like there are multiple bosses, so I have a feeling it's going to go for a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. I just need it off my plate. I'm done. I'm full.
My goal is this weekend I finish Rebirth. That is the goal.
Yeah, at this point, I just hope I finish it before Stellar Blade. So this weekend, the next week, up until Friday, that's kind of my goal. I'm pretty willing to drop it at this point and then pick it up again later. But
okay,
yeah, we'll see what happens. That's kind of the big thing, I guess, I'm doing.
Over on my side, I started up Evil West. That's my current co-op game that I'm playing. This is on Game Pass. It came to Game Pass a few weeks ago. Evil West is kind of awesome.
Yeah, it's all right.
I'm like an hour, maybe I can't be more than 2 hours into it. I think I did maybe like 4 missions. I think that is a game where they were just like, you know, it'd be awesome. And then what if this mechanic was in there? It doesn't make any sense to have this thing in the world, but I think it would just be awesome. And some examples of that are, so you have like a gauntlet, like there's a melee focus to this. With a really powerful uppercut that you can chain into a Superman punch. So you can punch dudes into each other. You can punch dudes into exploding barrels. You can punch dudes into spike pillars that are just around. And then they go like, what if that gauntlet was electric? And for some reason you could use the electricity to pull enemies to you. You could also use it to pull yourself to enemies. And then I just unlocked, what if you had a superpower from that gauntlet, I think from the gauntlet, where you just get like lightning speed and you teleport between the enemies punching them. Like, holy smokes. They just kept going.
That sounds fun.
Yeah.
It is fun.
It's like good. It was just like, you know, what would be awesome? What if this happened? And then they just let you do it. Like, my big question is, do they keep this momentum up for the whole game, or are they just kind of giving everything at the front? And then that's it. I use those for the next 90% because it is cool.
What point did you get to, like, story-wise? I guess chapter wouldn't make, I don't know, but.
Well, there are, like, discrete levels, so chapter would make sense.
Yeah, but I don't remember them, so.
Yeah, so, like, it's around the fourth mission. I just got the, like, lightning dash super ability, and we kind of stopped right after whatever that was. You know, I can't really tell you exactly what's going on with the story. I know I know there's vampires.
Yep.
Which they, that's a weird thing. So they refer to vampires in this universe as ticks.
Yep.
The subtitle refers to them as vampires.
Oh. Okay, that's funny. I haven't actually noticed that. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know about that. And then there's a whole bunch of guns you get as well. So you can do like the uppercut punch into just like a shotgun blast, which is very good. But yeah, story-wise, I don't really know. I think it is just like a very, really cool tone and vibe. I like the art style quite a bit. It's just like, what if everything was super high contrast, red, yellows, whites, and a lot of black. I think it looks really nice too.
It's very colorful. Yeah. Good.
Super colorful. And then it has co-op, so like really great game to put on Game Pass. So that's what
I didn't realize it had co-op. Who does the second player play as?
Just another one of you.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Yeah. Which is funny because like in the first couple missions, there is like a partner character, but then you don't play as them. I'm assuming at some point you'll be kind of by yourself. Now that I think about it, there was like some caves where I was just by myself. But yeah, it's just another one of you.
Okay, cool. Why not?
Set a spare line around.
Yeah,
exactly. And then also sticking with Game Pass is I am playing through Harold Halibut. which in terms of like vibes and tones, this is probably the most opposite game to Evil West I could possibly think of.
Sure. Yeah.
Harold Halibut is kind of an adventure game walking simulator. But the kind of big unique thing about this is everything is like claymation. I actually did a preview of this during GDC. So I was talking to one of the developers. I guess they built everything in the game, like a model in real life, and then scanned all of it and then did all the animation with computers. But like all the characters, cool. All the locations are real little sets and whatnot.
That's cool.
He also said it took them 14 years. So they were pretty excited to be getting this game out now.
Sure. That is
fair. Wow.
I can't even imagine.
No.
I'm a walking simulator fan. Even by like those standards, this seems like it is going to be a slow game. And I don't really say that from a movement perspective. I mean, Harold does not.
Yeah.
There's a run button, but like he's not very fast. It's just kind of a slow pace. The devs were telling me it's like close to 20 hours long if you're like everything. So there's just kind of a lot here. So just expect that. I think it's really worth just jumping in to see the art style.
The art style is very good. Yeah.
That's like kind of the big thing. And then I do think you need to be a like narrative adventure walking simulator fan. Because I just think the start, like, it's slow. It kind of maintains being slow for a while. I'm like 2 to 3 hours in and like nothing like crazy exciting is happening. So you just need to kind of like being in this world and whatnot.
Yeah.
But it is on Game Pass. It's on like everything. If you have Game Pass, that's an easy way to get it, obviously. I think the voice acting is really good. I think it looks really nice. So I'm enjoying my time with it. This is probably going to be like one of the games I'm like X-clouding into when I'm on my trip next month and I'm like on trains for 2 hours. This seems like a perfect one to remote into with my phone.
Yeah.
And like a controller or whatever, but I'm playing a bit of that right now. So yeah, if you haven't heard of Harold Halibut, at least look up a trailer. Cause like that art style is just so incredible. That's kind of the big thing there.
Yeah, the trailer made me want to play it, and then the gameplay video I saw made me never want to touch it. It looks so boring to me. There's no way. But it's very cool looking aesthetically.
And the rest of the stuff I've been planning, I can't talk about until like next week. So stay tuned for that. Let's do some news. PlayStation is bringing trophies to their PC ports.
Hooray.
Starting with Ghost of Tsushima's director cut. They're going to have their own overlay where you're going to be unlocking trophies. No word yet if it's a separate trophy list. Kind of like how the the PS4 games that got a PS5 update, those had separate lists, and just like loading up your save just auto unlocked everything. Easy way to get a whole bunch of trophies really fast. Or it'll be the same list, a lot of Xbox games, because they have a PC counterpart. If you get them through the Microsoft Store, they only have the one list. But that is coming, if that is something that you are interested in.
In-game PlayStation overlay. Interesting. Okay.
Over on the Nintendo side, there was a Nindies. Actually, I don't think they call them Nindies anymore. But anyways, there was an indie live stream.
Indie Direct is what they call it.
Yeah. Silk Song was not here, as per usual.
Sure.
Did anyone watch this? Any games you guys want to call out?
I did not, but everyone kept telling me about the Ninja Turtles game.
Yeah, it's a roguelike. I remember seeing that one. Ninja Turtles Splintered Fate. Mm-hmm. I remember correctly, it looked kind of like Marvel Ultimate Alliance, because like all four of them are there. Or is it just one of them? Hang on. Maybe there's co-op. Maybe that's why I'm seeing a bunch of turtles. Things that jumped out to me, I think Lorelei and the Laser Eyes still looks great, and that's from Samogo. I like what they make. Stitch, I believe, is already out. That looked like a cool little crochet puzzle game. The big one at the end was Steamworld Heist 2. And that comes out in August.
I didn't love SteamWorld Heist 1, so I could take or leave myself.
I actually never played Heist, so I immediately picked it up on my phone for $1, and I'm going to play some Heist. I remember people being pretty into Heist, so.
Mm-hmm. I mean, looking at this list, a lot of these are ones I'm already waiting for. Like you said, Lorelei and the Laser Eyes, so that's great. Anton Blast, yep, definitely still want to pick that up.
That's got a demo now, at least.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Yes, that's when they did the direct, they put out a demo.
I didn't realize.
Some other people said the demo's been out for a while, so I don't know.
It was saying, this article says a demo available today.
Already available on Steam, but the Switch demo is available now, yeah.
I didn't realize that they made is this a Metroidvania or something in the Yars Revenge series called Yars Rising? That's interesting.
Yeah. Atari's been doing wild stuff now with their old IPs. Like, there's there's two Pong Metroidvanias now.
So the cool thing about Yars Rising is the hacking minigame is Yars Revenge.
That's awesome. That's so good.
I learned that today on Twitter, and I was like, that is. As someone
it's
just
Way
like,
Forward that's doing this. I wasn't even aware this was Way Forward.
That's even better.
Just like I played a bunch of our Atari stuff last year for when that thing came out. Like,
yeah,
this thing is weird.
Yars Revenge is great, so I'm down. Seeing if there's anything else here.
I thought the Refined Self game looked kind of interesting, but multiple ending kind of. I don't even
know. Oh, okay.
Narrative adventure, I guess. That thing seemed kind of cool.
Oh, that is kind of cool. Yeah, I'm just kind of scrolling through the video right now.
The whole thing is like there's like, yeah, tons of different endings based on how you respond and stuff to like change your character or something like that.
Cool.
Now, I've seen Europa at a couple shows recently, GDC and stuff. That game still looks cool.
Mm.
Yeah, I didn't think there was anything like huge here.
Yeah.
Moving on, Take-Two laid off 5% of its staff and canceled two projects. 5% of the staff is somewhere around 500 people.
Oh my God.
Yeah, well, what I learned reading this article is that Take-Two has 11,000 employees.
Yeah, sure. That makes sense. Yeah. That's a crazy number, though.
Oh, absolutely, for sure. It's also crazy because, like, you know, GTA is still raking in the cash. Like,
yeah,
I doubt that slowed down at all.
Yeah, probably not.
With 6 coming, like, this is just once again a bummer to see. And then, yeah, they didn't say what the canceled projects were, but they canceled several in-development projects. Obviously, one of them was GTA 6. That's not coming out anymore. No, of course not.
Finally, we're free of Grand Theft Auto.
We'll never be free of Grand Theft Auto. But there's your latest industry layoff. We already talked about it in the kind of intro, but yeah, Keanu Reeves is Shadow.
Hell sure. Yeah.
I bet he just does the John
Sure,
Wick.
Why not?
Yep.
Yeah,
I'm digging all the art I've been seeing around of like just redraws of John, either John Wick scenes or just pictures of Keanu, but they've just put Shadow in instead.
Sure.
Okay.
Shout out to the person who just fully animated the fucking Cyber Quest or whatever the fuck the game is. Cyberpunk intro, but just with Shadow instead.
Oh, instead of Johnny.
Yeah.
That's good. Are they, have you, your nephews, have they seen the Sonic movies?
Yeah, they're excited for the Knuckles series next week, and they're excited for Sonic 3 in December.
Okay.
They will be there as day one as they are allowed to be.
Are they going to dress up?
If they know they have the option, probably, but I don't think they have any Sonic costumes at the moment.
That's surprising to hear. I'm surprised neither of them have gone as like Sonic for Halloween or something.
One of them might have last year. I forget.
Also, you're allowed to dress up for anything. Like,
I mean, that's also true.
Just in life, anything. Like, for the most part, no one's going to stop you.
Yeah, but usually it makes more sense. Like, it's easier to find stuff during Halloween, for example. Unless you just go
but
to, like,
there's you know, Amazon. You can get a costume at any point.
Also, they're 10, so like they can only do so much.
That's true. Yeah, maybe they specifically can't. That's true. Okay, this next one, we talked about it coming last week. The emulators were being allowed onto iOS. That's now definitely happened, and several emulators have gone up and been taken down. I guess this is just more of a PSA that Delta is up there, which is a pretty popular emulator. So have fun, everyone. And then this last story is that Fallout Season 2 has already been greenlit. What do you want to see in Season 2, Paul? Without spoiling Season 1 for me.
I mean, the literal last shot of that series, if you know Fallout, you know what Season 2 is. So I'll say that.
Okay.
It's very obvious what Season 2 is from that last shot.
Well, I'm going to have no idea, so... I will be in mystery.
You will know. You will know. Okay. I mean, it's the thing fans probably want to see from the Fallout series.
I have to assume it's that up in the sky is the Jetsons the whole time. Yep,
that's what people go to Fallout for. That's true.
And on the ground was Fallout. And season two is...
Season two will just be an a new MMORPG season of Jetsons called Fallout 2 76.
Yeah, they go to Appalachia. That's where 76 is, right? Somewhere like that.
Yes.
I have no idea.
Yep. All right, let's do some questions. Topdownperspective@gmail.com is the email address. You can also send questions into the Discord server. I have completely forgotten this. The Twitter at TDP Podcast on Twitter and John's PO Box. Say it twice a week, every week. I stumbled through this one. All right, Sukusuku writes, Fortnite has a reputation for having the most ridiculous crossovers from Dragon Ball Z to Family Guy, The Nightmare Before Christmas, and Lady Gaga. But is there a limit to how far it could go? What do you suppose that line is for you? What character would make you viscerally dislike their inclusion?
Adolf Hitler.
Bill Cosby.
I would love like to shoot worst. Both of those people, though. So,
I know that's the trade-off. So, you're well, keep that's
the
thing.
Would you want to? Were like Hitler's the bad guy, kind of a Wolfenstein thing?
Yeah, sure. I could do that. That would be really weird
as a villain. Sure, but they really should not be selling Adolf Hitler skins. I feel like that's a big moral should, quandary.
Absolutely
there,
absolutely not. Yeah,
this is a weird pivot for a kids' game to take for sure.
Yeah.
I was trying to think, like, I guess that with the question putting character in there, it kind of excludes real life people.
Sure. That's fair.
But Lady Gaga is a character, Lady Gaga's but also in there. A real life person.
Okay. So. And Keanu Reeves is in there, isn't he? As like, no, John Wick is in
John
there.
Wick. John Wick is in there. Yeah.
So there's lots of music artists in there, though. But like, I was trying to think, maybe someone who's dead, you probably shouldn't.
No, I'd be okay with that. As long as his estate, their estate is like, yeah, that's fine. I'm down.
Okay, so who would you want then that's dead?
And who would I want? I don't know. Put Tupac in there. Tupac and Biggie. There you go. Throw P. Diddy in
Work
there.
Work out their beefs in the games.
Yeah, P. Diddy might actually be a hot button. Actually, right now,
anyone canceled, don't put them in there. Like, that's just you're just asking for hot water. I'm trying to bring it back to fictional characters, though. Is there one that's too? I guess if like they were made for a narrative sense, there's no real reason not to put them in there, right?
Yeah,
at this point, no, they've done like this question even says they've done like whatever. So, yeah, just continue doing whatever. I'm down.
All right.
BGC Kenny writes, Square Enix has decided to appeal to the brilliant minds of TDP for advice. Uh-oh.
All right.
Because of the success of Final Fantasy VII Remake and Rebirth, they want to go ahead with more remakes. However, they can't decide what to do next. They ask you to help them choose, with the added bonus of if/when they make it, you get to play a character of your choice in the game. What Final Fantasy do you remake next, and what character do you play?
Chrono Trigger.
See, that's what my answer was first, yeah. But then they specified at the end, yeah. We have to pick a Final Fantasy.
All right, then six.
Yeah,
six?
I mean...
Oh, yeah.
I knew you were going to say six, so I'm trying to think of something else now, because that's what came to mind first. What else
six
would I
would
want?
Be a cool one. And do you have a character from six you would want to, like, I guess, voice?
It'd be funny to do Umaro, because, like, all he does is just yell. Mm. Or Mog, because, like, he acts, like, cute and cuddly, and then when you, like, find him, like, hey, fuck off.
Yeah. Okay. That'd be pretty good.
If Chrono Trigger was on the list, and it should be, I would want to do Frog.
Yeah, sure. I'll do 10. I like Auron a lot, so I would want to play him, I guess. He kind of doesn't do anything. Yeah. It's great. And then when he does, it's kill something really good.
10 is probably the one I have the most attachment to. I just, based on, like, everything I'm hearing, 6 seems like the one to do. I also hear a lot about 8. But 10 is, like, my nostalgia. I don't particularly care about if there's a 10 remake, because I probably wouldn't play it. I'm good. Auron, I think, is the right answer.
Yeah.
Waka would probably just be stupid and fun to do, though.
Yep.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Just do a bad Jamaican accent.
Yeah, exactly.
Dad says, how long ago in the past is you and not was you? What personal achievements measure what you once were and what you still can be? And how often do you rotate through identity-defining memories and beliefs?
Holy fuck.
This is deep. This is very deep.
Can we just talk about, like, pooping in your hand and a genie giving you wishes again, or whatever dumb bullshit y'all want to talk about?
What we scared off all the genie question askers. Now we have existential crisis questions.
I'm freaking out.
Okay, so they're asking, like, if it's, like, long enough ago, or is it kind of a different person? Yeah. Like, you almost
how
don't
long
recognize
ago in the
yourself?
Past? Or yeah, is you and not you? So, like, if you went back 3 years, is that still current you, or would that be past you? What's the marker for, like, the you of the present and the you of the past? I have an answer that I can't say, but
okay.
So I'm trying to think of another way to put this.
I feel like teenage Sean was, like, I was still into, like, a lot of the same stuff.
If we were to give a hard cutoff, just for argument's sake, like, what do you think? Every 5 years, you probably change a little bit? Every 10?
Oh, you extremely change in the span of 5 years. I was going to say, like, 2 years.
Every 2 years? I could see that.
I'd probably start a fist fight with 2 years ago, John.
Would you? Yeah? You think so?
I mean, I hit myself from an hour ago, so I get it.
Whereas I'm going the other way. I'm like, I don't know, 10 years?
I think the rule is, like, the you of 10 years ago is a completely different person from the you of now, and the you 10 years from now is a completely different person from you. So 10 years, absolutely.
I'm kind of segmenting, like, kind of like where I was and where I was living kind of stuff. Because, like, 10 years ago was when I was, like, just moving out here. So, like, it's definitely a completely different chapter of my life. But I think I was pretty similar. I don't know. I definitely, like, grew a lot and... just in terms of, like, experience and stuff. 5 years seems so similar to now for me.
Yeah.
I could start a fight with 2 years ago me. I could start a fight with 5 years ago me.
Okay. Because you dislike them so much? Is that, or just because you're...
I just want to start a fight
you just
with
want to fight someone. Okay.
I just want to kick my ass.
I would say, like, my minimum is 2 years. But I would say probably more in actuality, 5 years to 10 years is like that's a definitely a different person.
Yeah. I'll probably go with 5 years for myself if we had to do a hard number. The actual answer is anytime you have to, like, go through, like, a work change, moving, like Sean said, something where you physically move probably.
Any,
helps
any
a lot.
Major change that forces you to, like, be like, have to think about things differently. Or
anytime you have to self-reflect or something.
Like a life event. Some kind of
a life event.
Any life event.
Because I even think about, like, when I think about, like, the list of jobs I have, some of them are so similar to one another that they kind of all get like lumped together, where it's like, you know, there was like the retail, but it's like, okay, well, I sold games here, and then I sold games here, and then I sold movies and games here. And then it just kind of switches over to like, I edited video here, and then I edited video over here, and I edited video here. And the only thing different is now I take one extra stop on the train.
Right. Or even like the same company, but now they added something else to you. So that's like a major change, because now you're promoted or what, like, even
sure,
it could get even more granular that way. Yeah, I don't know.
No, for sure.
I think it's probably a bad sign if you feel like you're the same from like 5 to 10 years ago. I think you should never be the same as you were. Otherwise, that's probably a bad sign.
I agree with that, even though I was the person saying I feel similar. I bet in actuality I am a different person. I guess just the memory is not clear enough or whatever. But I do agree with the sentiment of, you know, you should be changing. That's life.
Yeah.
Mikey in chat says, fight your past self after saying it could be bigger. That was 5 years ago. So that's why I'll start a fight with 5 years ago me.
Rasterman writes, what is, in your opinion, the best option for the audience industry discourse of a TV series? Weekly releases of episodes or all in one go?
Better. The best option, I think, inarguably, is weekly, because it keeps something in the conversation.
In the cultural zeitgeist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess it's better for
the conversation
who,
going.
For people talking about it, definitely.
For everyone?
A weekly podcast, it's definitely better for it to be able to do it every week.
Right. Like the people putting it out, it's probably better to do weekly because their thing is, in the zeitgeist longer. But I mean, is it better for the audience? Because if you do if you do it all in one go, that person can just space it out once a week. They can do whatever they want. They have the option.
Whenever they want. Yeah.
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 What do you
it's
guys
better
like?
For everybody.
Paul, it seems
audience.
Like you like to binge.
I do like to binge. I don't like weekly. But that being said, if for some reason we did like a show where we did it weekly, then I would like that would be like it would be part of the routine. I like the routine.
I mean, you could still just piece it out once a week.
I could, but like there's other things that are
weekly self-control.
That I can't.
Well, the self-control is like you can watch them all right now, but just, 7 weeks from now, you need to remember episode 7. So you do you, man. John, you don't watch a ton of TV, but do you have a preference between weekly or lump sum? Do you binge if you do watch stuff?
Probably weekly, because like if I binge, I'm only watching like an episode or two, because like it's extremely rare I'm going to dedicate more than an hour or an hour and a half to like watching something.
Sure. Yeah.
Like even when I watch like DVD sets, I'm like, 3 episodes max of this 25 minute show each time. Yeah.
I think I like the weekly because I watch so many kind of shows at a given time that it's like, oh, I'm going to watch, one of these and one of these tonight. And then tomorrow I'm going to watch, two of these, but then on Thursday I'm going to watch one of these and one of these. So I can kind of like dip my toe into where what I'm feeling for that day. It's pretty rare that I'm just like, I'm going to sit down for 5 hours and watch just all of this show right now.
Yeah, I will definitely take that anytime. Because if I have 5 hours to waste, then I want to do it now. But all
I guess I just rarely have 5 hours, especially with Rebirth out right now. Like that thing demands so much of my attention.
Yeah, I mean, I could have been done Rebirth, but
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yep. I could have been, but
this is why you need 2 TVs. One, you got Rebirth.
Yeah.
I did that growing up. I had 2 TVs in my bedroom. I literally would watch cartoons and play games on the other one. That was living, man.
Yeah.
Like,
and that's why
like
you have
13.
ADHD.
Yeah, exactly. The TikTok generation. But also, like, this isn't a bad thing, even though it's going to sound like it is. I don't watch things alone. I always watch it with the girlfriend. So, like, if she's not around, that's when I'll do other stuff. But, like, I won't watch something solo because I like to talk to somebody right after about the thing. and then it just makes sense.
I have like specific shows. It's like, okay, this one we watch together, but like I need something for when I'm stuck on the train going to the office. So like I'm going to watch this one.
Sure. Lineback writes, you're given an all expenses paid 2 week vacation to go anywhere and do anything. No gotchas, drawbacks, strings attached, genies, poorly / well-designed genie pseudonyms. No breaking the law, though. And you're not getting diplomatic immunity from this. Okay. Where do you want to go and who do you want to take with you?
London, Italy, or Japan?
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking I want to see Seoul, Korea. So, like, probably there.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just want to do a trip. Like, I wouldn't go and, like, do this giant all-expense thing. I don't care about any of that shit.
And I'd go with Reese.
Yeah.
Yeah, just significant others across the board seems obvious. I guess maybe they were wondering, like, do you take, like, a celebrity with you? Like, nah, I'm good.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, Seoul's a really good one because, you know, obviously I'm looking at flight tickets kind of regularly, and Asia is always like twice the price of Europe. Like the deals I'm getting for Europe, I can never seem to find for Asia or like Africa and stuff.
So the reason we went to Japan when we did was because we got just like a killer deal on a flight. It's like, yeah, let's just do it.
Dude, I swear everyone is in Japan right now. I know like this year and last year. Everyone's going to Japan.
I had friends that got back like 3 weeks ago. Yeah,
that's funny.
I know like three different people last week were in Japan. Like everyone's in Japan.
I'd love to go back.
Seoul would be awesome. The one that came to mind for me is Egypt.
Okay.
Right now is not a great time for Egypt.
That whole area is a no-go right now. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I've always wanted to go to Egypt. So that would be probably one for me. Iceland is another country that's high on my bucket list to do.
That would be great. Yep. True.
But actually, you know what? Here's actually my real answer, because it's all expense paid. It's Antarctica, because you can go there, but it is very expensive. There was a brief moment last year you have to take like a cruise through like the Drake's Pass down south.
Yeah.
And those tickets are usually close to like 10 grand, because that's the only way you do it. We found tickets for 4 grand. And it was like, holy, but it was like, you'd have to decide right now. I had already paid for like my flights going home for the holidays, of which I needed to get a new visa. Antarctica is technically out of the country, but I don't know if they do visa processing in Antarctica.
Probably not.
That would have been a fun one now that I'm thinking about it. But
be interesting.
So there was like a brief like hour there where it's like, this is quite a deal. All right, John, you want to take this next one from Phantom Aegis?
Phantom Aegis writes in and says, ahoy, TDP crew. What is the first song you can remember that made you analyze the meaning of the lyrics?
Ironic by Alanis Morissette. That was one. Jagged Little Pill was one of the first albums I bought.
I don't know, man. The Ghostbusters theme. That's not the answer.
Maybe something from the Space Jam
Ninja
soundtrack.
Rap from Vanilla Ice.
Yeah.
Probably some Weird Al song, if I had to guess. It was probably some Weird Al song. Yeah. I'm like, I don't get this reference. What's this reference?
And it was like, the polka rap, and you're like, I don't understand. Like, what is he saying here?
Yeah. Why are they dropping it like it's hot?
Yeah. Weird Al's a good
maybe,
one.
Maybe, yeah, I don't know. Maybe like a Linkin Park song or something. But like, I'm not like a super Linkin Park fan, but that just seems kind of like the right era. I don't know. I don't think I have a definitive answer for this. Kevin writes, a time virus is wiping out all video games from history. You must choose two video games to be saved. These two will be the ones preserved and remembered, and all future games will build off of them. What two games do you pick for the new Genesis of gaming? So if you pick the actual first two games, do you just, does nothing happen?
I guess.
Not that I'm trying to find a loophole to this question, but
that's a pretty good loophole, though.
In this logic, if you pick the first two, not that I know what the first two are.
Space War and Pong, baby. We're set. We're set for life.
If you pick something that's like more recent, though, that does something interesting, we could be so much further in gaming.
Also. Yeah, that. Yeah.
See, my problem is my mind went to Tetris and Chrono Trigger.
Oh, Chrono Trigger. Okay.
When I first thought of this, my first one was Minecraft would be in there.
Sure. I can see that.
Tetris also came to mind.
Yeah. Tetris was my go-to.
You have a second thought, Paul?
Let's put Super Metroid. I like Metroidvanias. I don't want to see that genre die.
No, yeah, that's fair.
That is the other way. You could kind of get selfish on this and just pick two that you're like, I want to just, because for a while there, everything's going to be pretty similar. So you're going to get a lot of what you picked until they start experimenting, right?
To be fair, there's a lot of Metroidvanias out right now, so I guess nothing changes really in my scenario.
I want to pick one that's like super unique, like
Asura's Wrath.
No, I'm thinking like control scheme unique as well. I'm thinking like,
oh, yeah.
Ah, the Kinect. There you go. Yep. Good
thinking. Stuff that was coming to mind was like, was it Boktai, the sun thing?
That game's
Hotel Dusk. Just okay. Because you're holding the DS sideways.
Oh, yeah.
I just want some like out of the box again. Thinking. Did you hear they're putting emulators on the iOS store?
True. Yeah.
All right, Paul, you want to take this last one?
Steven writes, what would you say is your favorite third-party N64 game?
I'm assuming rare games don't count. Because if they did, I would say Perfect Dark.
Okay.
Wait, doesn't well, did Nintendo own Rare at the time? Because Microsoft owns them now, right?
They had I think they had a dominant amount of shares. I forget. Because that was why the whole sale happened.
Okay. Am I right? Microsoft owns Rare right now.
Microsoft owns Rare currently. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I guess Punishment. Third party at the time.
Ooh, Sin and Punishment, great choice.
I fell so fucking in love with that game a couple years ago. I played it every night for hours. I fell in love with it.
You know what? I think I'm gonna agree with him. I'll say Sin and Punishment or Bangayo. And again, another treasure game. So.
Oh, treasure is so good.
Like, ugh. I feel like I only owned first party games for the N64. I'm trying to think what
most
else.
People did, to be fair.
Yeah.
Trying to think what I liked that was on the system that wasn't then. Literally looking at my wall.
Like, oh wait, no, that's rare again. I was about to say Conker's Bad Fur Day.
Yeah, that's rare. Yep. I'm assuming rare counts does not count for the third party question.
Yeah, I think you got to do it at the time. It's first party.
It's also more interesting if you don't count it, because Rare is such an easy, anything by Rare is such an easy answer at that era.
Yeah, exactly.
Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, otherwise, that would probably be it.
Okay, yeah, I played that on PlayStation, but I guess that's easy enough to just say that.
Yeah.
Or GoldenEye, like maybe?
Bomberman 64, the second attack.
I had a bunch of GoldenEye. Probably
GoldenEye is Rare.
Yep.
Oh, was that, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
StarCraft on N64 basically, is incredible, by the way.
I'm amazed they fit the entire game in there. Yeah, Resident Evil 2 has a pretty good port as well.
That thing's interesting. Yep.
That's how I played through Resident Evil 2, was the N64 version.
That's awesome. What a weird way to play through that game. That's so awesome.
I was like 15, 16. I didn't know better.
Okay, maybe Snowboard Kids. Oh, you know what? Actually, maybe it's Star Wars Episode 1 Pod Racer.
That's a good one, too. And a lot of bangers on that system.
There are some good ones on there, but if you ask someone to name a game on the N64, they're probably going to say a Nintendo or a Rare game.
Of course, yeah. That makes sense. Snowboard Kids, though. Damn, what a game.
Good pick with that one.
Yeah.
All right. That's going to do it for questions this week. Thanks, everyone, for writing in. TopDownRespective@gmail.com is the email address, @TDPPodcast on Twitter, the Discord channel, and John's P.O. Box if you want to send in a question for next week. What is your game of the week? I did. Thank you.
Sonic Generations. Why not?
I'll say Final Fantasy again. Why not?
Yeah, I'll give it to Final Fantasy as well. Hopefully for the second last time.
Sure.
Are you sure you guys are enjoying this game? Because it definitely sounds like you've got
Stockholm. Honestly, at this point, I'm not sure that I am. There are parts that are like, when I get to them in that game, I'm like, oh yeah, this is great. And then I bash my head against it, just like, I just want this fucking done for half an hour after that. So I'm not sure that I do like it anymore, honestly.
I definitely still like it. There's a lot of other stuff coming out. And every time that I'm like, oh, I should play some of that, I'm like, or I could just muscle up and finish Final Fantasy. And then it's one less thing that's like on the backlog right now.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So it is good, though. I mean, I put 75 hours into it. I don't think you do that and dislike the game.
Well, you can. You definitely can.
I definitely can. And probably
it's a
will.
Bad use of 75 hours. That's multiple days of your life.
I didn't say it wasn't. I did not say it was not.
It's your opinion.
All right. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll see you next week.
Bye.